Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Georgia Wrestling Now, a production brought to you by the GWH Radio Network, where we bring you the latest news and information on the local wrestling scene in and around Georgia, as well as interviews with newsmakers. And now, the GWH Radio Network presents Georgia Wrestling Now.
Welcome to Georgia Wrestling Now. This is Jonathan Williams from WrestlingWithPopCulture.com, joined as always by Joshua Von Wheeler. How are you tonight, sir?
I'm exhausted.
Sounds like
literally
it.
Exhausted. It finally all started to hit. You know, the two trips to Georgia in the past 8 days is finally starting to wear on me.
Well, at least the most recent one was for better reasons, I guess. But then,
yeah, it was, I mean, that's the thing, and I'll go ahead and say it. I mean, it was a good show for the wrestling and for the boys that had a good time. You know, the crowd was a little low. I'm not gonna BS you guys. I mean, can't build a city in one day, and you know, I would have loved to have spent more money promoting, but unfortunately, I had some stuff happen and couldn't spend too much money promoting because I had to make an emergency trip to Atlanta, and. You know, it was a good starting point. I made the biggest screw up as I did not realize that when you rent cameras, they don't come with SD cards. So I don't have a lot of footage of the show, and I'm kind of disappointed in that because that was the whole reason for the show was to film footage for the YouTube TV show. So I totally screwed that one up. So go ahead and write the blog about me. Go ahead and sneak this me on social media, everybody. I screwed it up. I'm admitting it.
Well, I got 15 seconds of the main event, which I posted on Instagram and Facebook, so there's
a
little bit.
Yeah, it looked really good what you got, too, so I appreciate that. And some other people, and that's the thing, like, I really wish I would have got Jimmy and Drew's match, because that was so fantastic, and everybody's talking about it, and God, I felt so bad when I got home and I put the SD card in. The one SD card we had, it was like 4-gig SD card, and it literally got one match. And I was like, no, it's a learning experience. First time I've actually ran a show in quite some time. And I know everybody thinks it's the last. They're already getting the autopsy out. And put your pens and pencils away, people. It's not over yet.
Well, we are talking, of course, about Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment's debut event last night. But tonight we've got Micro Championship Wrestling's Huggy Cub, who will be part of two shows that they're doing in Georgia. One is on Thursday in Valdosta, and the second one is on Saturday in Marietta at 120 Tavern, which is where I've seen him a couple of times, two or three times now. So that should be fun. It's been a long time since we had a midget, and I think the first time we've had a midget on since you've been part of the show.
Come on, that's offensive. You got to call them little people. I thought I'd be the one that offended the poor guy.
No. Midget wrestlers prefer to be called midgets. I've interviewed a few of them, and
really?
I've asked, yeah, because there's nothing politically correct about wrestling or midget wrestling. So even if they're actually dwarves what are the other ones, the other terms? I mean, they don't want to be called little people wrestlers. But,
gotcha.
But guess who we've got joining us right now?
Would that be Larry Goodman?
It is Larry Goodman.
I guess dwarfs wouldn't be the right term either, then.
I don't
know.
Dwarf wrestling
has
a certain. Dwarf wrestling does have a certain ring to it, I think.
What about munchkins?
Here we go.
I'm just asking. Is that offensive? I'm being completely honest. I have no idea if that is an offensive term for midgets and little people.
I think that is a, I guess, a scientific term. You know, dwarves are different than midgets, and I believe munchkins are actually a thing, not just something from Wizard of Oz.
I didn't know that.
I might be wrong.
The Lollipop Guild,
Dwarves definitely are something different from midgets or little people. Anyway, what's going on, Larry?
If I could get real serious for a second, when I called in last week, Josh, I didn't know anything about what you were talking about when there was obviously a big issue had come up in your life. So I just wanted to say sorry for your loss.
Oh, thank you, Larry. And like I said, I was trying to keep it as kayfabe as possible. But then, you know, certain things started getting out and other people started messaging me. I'm like, how did this – I mean, I did post some stuff because I was just trying to, like, vent a little bit as much as I could without, like, being too open about it. But, yeah, it was pretty traumatic, and I didn't realize it until, like, I don't know, last Tuesday how traumatic it was.
Hey,
so.
Just wait. Having lost my dad a few years ago.
That's what's got me worried, yeah. That's what's got me worried. Like, especially now, like, I was just talking to Murder before I called in here, and I was like, I think that, like, by Wednesday this is really going to hit me because I'm not doing anything.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So I was, you know, I'm not really working on a show, right? I mean, I'll be working on a show, of course, but not like I was, not a week before. So I think it's really going to hit me on, like, Wednesday.
Well, not to get into, you know, autopsy territory, but if you had anything to do over about the first show, what would you have done differently?
First of all, I would have came to the venue first to get a layout of how it looked. It's a great venue. I actually do enjoy it. It's just I wish I would have seen it so I could have, you know, maybe got an entranceway, maybe, you know, done, like, some little, like, mechanical things. And the second thing I would have done is I would have called Apertura Tent Camera Rent Place and said, do they come with SD cards? That would have definitely, those would have been the two biggest things I would have done. And then, honestly, I probably, other than that, I think that I would have probably, in hindsight, I should have came up for SmackDown. And I should have been on the ground with the Flyers at SmackDown. I might be going to throw anybody on the bus, but I felt like that's where we probably didn't hit as hard as we should have.
Mm-hmm.
So. So in hindsight, those are the three things that I would definitely do. So, but
well,
when you live in Tampa, Florida, you
don't
do so much.
The next show was announced.
Yes, we are doing July 27th, College Park, 6 p.m., and it will be main evented by Jimmy Rave and Chip Day, which is all through fallout from this past event, where Jimmy Rave, tag team partner, and then Jimmy Rave and Drew Adler stole the show later on in the evening.
Hey, one thing I got to ask is, so what really happened with Davey Richards?
Okay. And again, I try to keep it as kayfabe as possible. But Tuesday afternoon, I was dealing with, like we had just talked about, Davey sent me a text that I got terrible news. I said, no, you don't. And he said, apparently what happened is I guess that he has another job, and it was not TNA related, but I did not know he had a second job. And he had to do something for that job that completely he did not know about. It was sprung on him last minute, and everything's good. You know, we talked a little bit, and we are going to try to bring him back and do that match with Drew at a later date when it's convenient for everybody. And it may or may not be in College Park. I'll just leave it at that, but we are looking at some other venues in Atlanta. So
thank you for the clarification, because it was in no way you canceling him out of the date.
Oh, God, no. No way in the world. And I was worried that rumor would get started, and it was just a conflict with something he had to do in his personal life, and we are still good to go. And that is why Jimmy volunteered to wrestle Drew, because he helped broker the deal for Davey, and he felt so bad when this happened. Because it just happened. And if I would have known this about Monday, I didn't find this out until Tuesday afternoon, and you guys would have been the first ones to know. Unfortunately, I broke the news on Live from the Armory, another podcast that is ran by my friend Bunkhouse Bob and the lovely Laura. But you know, it was one of those things where, like, it happened and it stunk, and we feel bad about it. But it was not me canceling Davey. No way, shape, or form did I do it.
Okay.
So, but thanks for the question.
Sure.
Because I love to clarify things, because a lot of people don't think that I'm a very honest person, but I'm actually a very honest person. So if you just ask me, I'll be more than transparent.
Well, I think you're pretty transparent about the why there won't be, like, a DVD coming out of this show, right? I mean, that's not going to happen.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, there is no footage. There will be no YouTube show. We're just going to you know, we're going to try to reset that idea for July 27th. Well, like I said, we got a little bit of footage. We might try to do something with it, but we can't really make a TV show out of it. And that is totally, that was my screw up.
Larry, did you?
But
we do
have 1,700 photos, still photos, that we will be uploading in the next 2 days. So there are photos in the show.
Larry, did you go to Best in the World?
No, I had to work, and I just came back after the Knoxville show. I was really tempted to go up there, but I just could not figure out a way to do it and have to work today. I just was not willing to do that driving. So I do not know. Actually, I know nothing about what took place there.
I know Elgin won the title, but that's all I've heard. And
cool.
Did Evan Bourne, I mean, Matt Sydal, did he do anything?
Yeah, my question too. Do you know
yeah,
Jonathan?
That was like a rumor was there, so
I don't know. I haven't read any results. Obviously I didn't go to the show. I do know Matt Sexcells did not have a match because I did text him and ask. And I was curious. I meant to mention this last week. Muso Janaka was on their TV show a couple weeks ago, so I guess
watched it, and he had a great showing on it. I mean, it was a very short showing, but it's just interesting, Larry. And I don't know if you've seen it yet, or you don't realize how big he is until he's at the Ring of Honor show, and you realize that wow, their roster's really small because he's only
four. Yeah, they're very few big guys, so a guy like that really has a chance to stand out there.
Oh yeah, he stands out. And I think that's why, like, Roe and Hanson, again, I don't know how familiar you guys are with the Ring of Honor program, but that's why, to me, Roe and Hanson stick out so well for that roster, because they are just so much bigger than everybody else in that show.
Right, right. They look like giants because of the size of the regular guys. Right, right.
And I do like the fact they are trying to get some of those heavyweights in there, because I think it's a good diversity of their product at the same time. I don't want to say it devalues what they've been doing, but it's, you know, it's good for TV to have guys that look like pro wrestlers, and I hate using that term, but
no, don't hate it. I mean, guys that they have immediately have that larger than life impact,
right?
That the bigger guys, I mean, a smaller guy, you know, they can have it, but it's a lot tougher.
Yes, it's like I don't know if you guys watch this kind of stuff, but I watched a thing with like Kevin Nash. And he's talking about you can be 5'9", but you got to be like.
Yeah,
you got to be like that Spitfire. Like, I mean, he was telling Sandy Callahan actually. He said you got it. He goes, you look like Mad Dog Buzz Sawyer when you're in there. You can have that smaller stature, but you make it work. Some of the guys that you know are smaller, they don't make it work because they don't make their size. You know, like Taz. Taz was the first example of a guy who had that, who could make that 5'9" look like 6'2".
Right, and on the local level, John Schuyler is one who does that well. But I mean,
Schuyler's
how many guys? How many
Eddie
Guerreros are there, and Chris Benoit's who could be so small in stature and just project so much larger than they really are? Yeah.
Yeah, John is a great example of that because he's so good about that.
We've got a caller that I suspect is going to give us an update on Ring of Honor show. Welcome to the show. Is this who I think it is?
Yes, it is.
Chicken ass.
It is I, and I was at front row at Ring of Honor and saw practically everything. And yes, Michael Elgin is the new ROH champion. And of course, unfortunately, Jay Lethal is still the television champion, although he tried to have a little help. And of course, tag team action. The former TNAers of Christopher Daniels, Frank Kazarian didn't get the titles.
Oh, did it beat Red Dragon? Oh, that stinks.
Yeah, unfortunately. And, of course, you were talking about the War Machines. They had a match against two smaller guys. They won theirs, and that was during the little countdown show.
Okay.
And let's see. And the Briscoes won their match over Matt Hardy and Michael Bennett after it became a no disqualification match, courtesy of Nigel McGuinness.
But Chickenhead, how hot is Maria in person?
Well, let me put it this way. If you've seen one person like her, you've seen them all. And I won't say what kind of person she is, because I'm, oh heck, y'all swear all the time. She looked like a slut.
Well, that's what she's supposed to look like.
Really?
Yeah.
I only I only thought that worked for divas and knockouts.
Oh, well, she was a diva.
Yes, she was.
So overall, how was the crowd at the event? How did it really play in Nashville? Because I'll be the first one to tell you, I do not understand them doing their first pay-per-view in Nashville. That is not their home market. I thought that was the worst place to do it from a, you know, a, kind of a...
Excuse me, I happen to live in that city.
No. I think the city of Nashville is great, Chicken Hat. What I'm saying is Ring of Honor was born and bred in Philadelphia and New York. So to do a show in Nashville...
Yeah.
Is a little odd, just in my opinion.
Well, odd. Well, considering that Ring of Honor travels from place to place, even from time to time, going in foreign countries like Canada or Japan.
I agree, they are a New York company.
Josh Wheeler, I've got to come to Chicken Hat's defense here. If you'd been at the TV taping they did, where AJ Styles wrestled Roderick Strong in the main event, you would not have this question because
really
that building was so on fire. It was the perfect place to come back and do the pay-per-view.
See, I'm shocked by this.
It was the same there too. Nearly every seat was filled, and into it.
So, Chicken Andy, you guys get Ring of Honor television in Nashville, I assume.
Oh, yes.
Okay, so that's what it is then. Okay, so that's
we have it on
Nashville
two
is probably
of
one of Sinclair's
Sinclair
better
stations.
Networks. Yeah, that's probably what it is then, is that the
Sinclair
people... On
MyTV30 and on Fox 17.
Oh, two networks, wow.
Yeah, two channels.
Also, when they announced...
MyTV30 airs it twice.
Okay, so that's starting to make a little bit more of a business sense to me then.
Mm-hmm. Also, they announced that Best in the World was going to be there... at that TV taping back in January. At that time, it was going to be on the 21st.
But then it was going to be pay-per-view.
Yeah, they didn't. They changed it to the 22nd when the pay-per-view thing came about. So
gotcha.
I don't know why they
changed
that.
That makes sense. So that makes sense. So thanks for the clarification, Chicken Hat and Larry. I apologize. Mm-hmm. I just, you look at the history of Ring of Honor. Their biggest shows were always in Philly, New York, Rahway, New Jersey, Dayton, Ohio, and Toronto. So,
well, you might say Ring of Honor is branching out, as it should.
they're drawing, they should. I agree. So was it a sold-out
crowd?
And
Ring of Honor is going to be back in town in January of next year.
There you go.
So maybe they're making Nashville a new home base.
Well, it's nice to know that the place I live is getting their share of notice at Ring of Honor.
Well,
after all, Ring of Honor is often seen in New York and in Chicago, and they're recently back in Philly after some people thought in that town thought they sold out when Sid Clair bought them out.
And I think there's a void there at the fairgrounds. Whatever you may think of Marcus Pastorius and all of his shenanigans, he ran big scale shows at the fairgrounds. So
the way I look at it is this: he had big ideas and very little pockets.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know someone like that. I'm glad someone laughed at that. You know, an investor, call me. I mean, come on. Mm-hmm. So, Larry, before we get our guests on, we got to talk Knoxville because I got to know exactly how that show went and what's going on with that entire debacle up there, or not debacle, or whatever it was.
Well, so here's the thing to me is they had a really good first taping. Great crowd, great-looking show. It'll look good on TV. What does that really mean in 2014 to come into market
right.
like Knoxville and give them a product that they haven't seen since Smoky Mountain left, of that quality of talent and production? But what does it really develop into? We're going to see what it means. But for the first time out, I don't think they could have done much a whole lot better than what they did, really.
So was it a good crowd? Were they hot? The
crowd was hot. The place was full. It looks good on TV. They've got smart minds involved with Tom Pritchard. You can't go wrong there as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, yeah.
If he's advising you and Paul Adams is doing the booking. The thing, what I don't know is where the money is coming from for the production and the TV and what all the inner workings of that deal are with the TV
right.
there. But, yeah, I thought they did very, very well for the first time out. And they're smart that they – we'll come back with another taping before they actually air the first show so they can, you know, I guess if there's really any big problems with this first taping, they've got a little room there, you know, with the way they did it.
Yeah.
Right, right. But and I was a little too hard on the refs on that show. I found out later that one of the screw-ups was really not a screw-up, and that was really a planned as a commercial break and not really a mess-up by the refs. But, man, I've got to say I'm so spoiled because Georgia refs in general – have got it so over Tennessee refs. I mean, any number of Georgia refs with TV experience to go up there and excel and do better than the guys they've got, it's just a real shortcoming for that promotion. But otherwise, really, really good, I thought.
Oh, I and about the refs, I totally agree. Like, we had used Stan Robinson, of course, last night, and, of course, Ken Wallace and Dee Byers are probably two of the best in the business. I can't remember his name, but Todd Texas, I guess the little brother is a great
Brent Wiley.
Yeah, he's a great referee. Jeff McGowan is a great referee when he's available.
Dustin Robinson. I mean,
Dustin
another Robinson, really
another
good
great
referee.
One, yeah. Yep.
Yeah,
so
we got all these guys.
Right. Georgia has about 7-8 really good refs. You were totally right about that.
Really? The other thing I wanted to say that's kind of just the last thing is about the little indie wrestling intrigue is where does Matt Riviera stand? He was supposed to be in with Marquez on this United Wrestling Network thing that he's trying to going at all that. And then what happens? Here he is.
He went into business.
With Tharp and Ron Quillo in the NWA and supposedly maybe even paying for a title change for Conway to win the belt back. But whatever, he's like really in tight with them when he was supposed to be part of this other thing. So, I mean, you know, it's small scale, but he's kind of pivotal
right.
in that way because he had good quality TV, and where does he really stand?
No, that's a good question. And what is going on with TCW in the right now anyway? Like, I assume they're gone, correct?
That's what I assume. But then there's this show down in Arkansas that's really kind of TCW meets NWA, the best of both talent groups, that you know makes it totally appear like he's throwing in with the NWA, and that's going to be his deal going forward. So we'll see.
Now, the person that died this past week, was that the promoter of NWA Soul?
Yes, it was, and he had serious heart and breathing problems for quite some
right.
time, and yeah, so it is going to go on with Tim Thomason, you know, running the whole
yeah,
deal there for now, but, you know, that's a dicey proposition, really.
Yeah, well, my condolences to his family, because,
yeah.
you know, like I saw his product, the TV product, I love the venue, that venue is so cool looking, and they actually had some very good talent, and I hope they can keep it together because it's a good product. And that's the thing about Tennessee right now, and we're talking about Tennessee and Georgia right now, but Tennessee it has some really good shows, and they got really good towns that actually do kind of draw. And, you know, I don't know if you keep up with Chase Stevens too much, but Chase Stevens is always posting photos of these shows he's working where there's thousands of people, these venues, and it's like somebody's doing something up in Tennessee. It's just, I guess, getting the eyeball on the product outside of Tennessee.
Yeah, you've got some of those like hardcore type fans that I think more like the West Georgia fans who will
right.
come out and support indie wrestling. And in David Marquez's perfect world, he would have a promotion similar to what he's trying to get going in Knoxville. He'd have the same thing in Memphis. Now whether
right.
he can get that going, and even in Nashville, but that's a major proposition, of course, whether
yeah.
that could ever happen.
Well, guys, looks like we've got our guests. Huggy Cub on the line. Let me make sure that's him. Is that you, Huggy?
Yes, it is.
Welcome to the show. How are you tonight?
I'm good. How about you? Thank you.
Doing all right. My name is Jonathan. You're on with Larry Goodman and Joshua Von Wheeler as well. And I don't know how familiar Larry and Josh are with Micro Championship Wrestling, but I've seen a few of your shows, and you're always a big part of them.
Yeah, thank you.
You guys, what's that? Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. So I saw you guys are going to be here twice this week in Georgia, in Valdosta, and then in Marietta.
Yep.
And I looked up the place in Valdosta, Ashley Street Station. It looks like that's a regular stop for you guys, right?
No, the one in Marietta is the 125 Tavern. That's our regular
stop.
Yeah.
I've seen you guys there twice, but when I looked up Ashley Street Station, they had a bunch of MCW pictures, so I figured that must be another place you go on a regular basis, but maybe I'm wrong.
Yep.
Anyway.
Hopefully soon. Hopefully soon, yeah.
Well, yeah. Tell us a little bit about Huggy Cub. Obviously, it's a reference to Huggy Bear from Starsky and Hutch, right?
Yeah, I'm Huggy Bear's illegitimate son. It's over the family business.
All right.
And, interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, you guys have fun with the whole thing. Obviously, you have fun with it because it's a bit of a novelty act in and of itself. But, I mean, even with the gimmicks,
yeah.
Like you and Angel was was a fun – I liked him a lot at the last show.
Oh,
for Larry and Josh, yeah, he was like – he's like the midget exotic one member. For you guys.
Yeah, it's our Angel, yeah. He's special.
So, like Gunn was saying, I don't know a lot about Micro Championship Wrestling, so and some of our listeners may not either. So, how did this all, like, how did you get involved with it? How did Hulk Hogan get involved with it, if you know any of that stuff? And what can the fans expect out of Micro Championship Wrestling besides, like, you know, John was saying, a novelty ad? I mean, you guys really go out there and, like, really put on wrestling matches, right?
Yes, sir. We wrestle. Yeah, we like what you see on TV with WWE and TNA. Same thing. We're just short.
Right. So, but you are like, I mean, not every match is going to be like Hornswoggle versus El Torito. It's not all comedy. Like, you guys are serious, actual competitors, correct?
Like, we actually trained for this with Pat Tanaka. Like, he actually trained us and.
Mm-hmm.
When I say train, he put us through hell. I'm sorry. He did.
Right.
But, in the end, it's worth it. You know, we wrestle. We do a little comedy, but we have a wrestling show. Like, we put on matches. We do moves, stuff like that.
So is it hardcore? Is it, you know, is it more like the Lucha Libre mini shows? Or is it, you know, is it more of like a variety, like just a typical independent professional wrestling show? Like how do you like categorize it?
Well, we do all three. You know, we got some hardcore, we got some guys who jump around like luchadores, and some of us stick to wrestling. You know, basic wrestling moves, basic, you know, mess the crowd, stuff like that.
Okay.
So we do all
three. So now how did you decide? Like when you were born, you know. And you're like growing up. How did you say, man, I want to be a professional wrestler? Like, how did that come about? You know, in your mind and in your world.
Well, when I was young, you know, I'm from Philly, so we had NWA and of course WWF. So
right.
When I saw it, I was a big fan. I said, man, I want to do this one day. But at that time, it wasn't big, so. You know, like, there was no way to find out how I can get into it. And then, like, after a while, Blix, he got me into it. Because he did it for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Johnny came on, and that was it. I had my tryout,
okay.
And he signed me on, yep.
So,
speaking of,
when you were... Yeah, go ahead, Jonathan.
Well, I was going to ask, you mentioned Blix. He, last time you guys were at Marietta, that was supposed to be his retirement match or something, but isn't he going to be involved in these shows coming up?
Well, he's a manager now. He doesn't listen no more. He just manages.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, Josh. You had another question?
No. I was when you were growing up, was King Kong Bundy like the biggest heel to you?
King Kong Bundy? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, think about it. I mean, you know, and I'm not trying to like poke fun, but like, you know, when he did at WrestleMania 3, that had to have been like, I mean, that's got to be one of those things like, you're like, what a jerk, you know? Like, I know, like, I being a little kid, I want to kick his ass for that.
Oh, yeah, well, me, I saw that being funny because King Kong Bundy was, what, 400, 500 pounds, and, yeah, it was crazy. Yeah, I missed, yeah.
I mean, he's trying to kill Little Beaver.
Exactly. Oh, man. Yeah, he almost smashed him, yeah.
Yeah, like, if he would have dropped
crazy.
The elbow, it would have been over.
Exactly. It would have been like, okay, I don't want to do this no more. For real. You got Beaver's about, what, 120? King Kong Bundy about, what, 450? Yeah, that wouldn't look
yeah.
good.
Yeah. and then you had poor old little Haiti kid there who just a year previous was you know scalped by the Dastardly Roddy Piper.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, so and that's what and this is all getting into my next question. Do you feel that in the mainstream world and Masahiro Dorada, now known as El Torito, is one of the greatest athletes in the business? Do you kind of get like? Did you get upset when like? WWE kind of, like, just makes them, like, so over-the-top gimmicky and comedy and not really focusing seriously on, you know, a junior division or a minis division or something like that. Like, how does that make you feel? Like, is it offensive to you? Does it kind of bother you? Or are you just kind of, like, you know, just like, it's Vince. He does this to everybody.
I think it's a matter of both because, like you said, that's all they're doing is comedy. But when you do that, it don't show us. It don't show real talent. It just
right.
shows, okay, I got 2 minutes, you know, make them laugh, and that's it. Like, they're doing actual wrestling, and it's kind of a shame because we have talent. We can wrestle. We can do what John Cena does. We can do what, you know, Big E does. We can do all those things, but it can't be showcased because it's comedy. It's not wrestling.
Right.
So, like...
Well, given the way, I mean... Hornswoggle's been part of WWE for years, but he's always been kind of a joke. But at least now they've actually pushed these two guys, and they've had matches. But typically that's not the case. So what it for a little person or midget wrestler or whatever you prefer to be called, what is the biggest aspiration? I mean, is MCW kind of the biggest thing, or would you like to see it, or what do you think it would take to get it to a level like WWE, or is that possible?
I think it's possible, you know, because the one thing I think is holding it back is that stereotype. When people see midgets, they see comedy. They don't actually see wrestling. Like, at one of our shows, this guy said, after the show, the guy said, you know what, I ain't going to lie. I thought it'd be comedy, I thought it'd be funny, but y'all actually shocked me. Y'all did a great show. Y'all did better than Impact Wrestling. I was shocked. They said, you know, y'all did moves. Y'all praised the crowd. I'm like, wow. But he said, to be honest, I thought it'd be a comedy show, but it wasn't. It was actual wrestling. And that right there makes you feel good about it.
Well, you guys had a TV show a few years ago, and I know you've got, like, you sell DVDs of that full season, and you got a comic book and things like that.
Yeah.
Has there been any talk of another TV show, maybe something that's not a reality show and just an actual wrestling show?
Actually, it is. And talk of a wrestling show, Johnny's going over it now, so hopefully it'll be on TV soon. But, yeah, there's some talk right now of an actual wrestling show. Hopefully, you know, we'll get more details.
So,
yeah.
Does Hulk Hogan have like what all does Hulk Hogan have to do with Micro Championship Wrestling? Does he just put his name on it, or does he put money into it? Is he booking it? Like how is he really involved in the product?
Well, he puts in one, but he's our endorser. You know, he's our sponsor basically. You know,
right?
If he got a show, we say Johnny, I need so and so. We go right there. Like he did a show for us in Montana last year. He did a couple of shows for us, but. As you know, Hawk is a busy man, you know. Hawk
right.
is not, he's here, he's there, but he's involved. Like he's very much involved.
So when you get to a show and you know, you beat your opponent, are you always worried that Hogan's going to come out there and want to take the title from you?
Hope so, yeah, no. Hey, it'd be a good
match. I mean, it's Hulk Hogan. I mean, he's got to have the spotlight, brother.
No, but yeah, like, that'd be great, though. He could come out and say, I want a match with you. I'll be shocked.
Yeah.
Hey.
He's not going to sell for you, but he wants to have a match with you. No, I'm just joking. But no, again, you know, back to, you know, an earlier question. I don't know a lot about, like, the micro championship wrestling. So give me a rundown of, like, some of the top guys, you know, what they kind of do, maybe, like, some of their gimmicks, and just kind of, like, clue us in, like, you know, not just, I mean, you know, you can tell me you clue us in on your gimmick, but clue us in, like, you know, who's your biggest rival, who's some of the top tag teams, or who's some of the top guys, like who do we need to, like, when we pay $15, $20 to come see this show, who are we coming to see?
Well, right now, my biggest rival is Meatball. He's the world's biggest midget. He's 4'6" and weighs 300 pounds. Yes. He's 4'6", he weighs 300. And then there's Butch, Tiniest Terror, a.k.a. Marilyn Manson. We have Angel, the real special guy.
Mm-hmm.
We have a guy named, called him the Sheep from Iraq. We have a guy like that. You know, so, like, we have Loco from Mexico, south of the border. You know, we have a few characters there. Everybody has a gimmick as a character. Everybody does.
Right.
Who's the champion now?
Right now, I am right now.
Oh, you're the champion.
Yeah, right now, yeah. I'm the champion right now.
And you basically, you guys, the title, from what I've seen, the title's defended on every show, right?
Every show. We want to get the fans money for every show. Like, we don't. If you got a belt, you got to defend it, you know. We ain't like everybody else where you got a belt and take time off. No, you got to defend that belt.
So you don't try to get the 30-day rule into effect and, you know, try to milk that title defense until you really got to have that title defense?
I try, but it don't work, man. I need a lawyer, man. It don't work.
See, you got to tell Hogan, you got to say, look, Hogan, look, brother. You never wrestled on TV when I was growing up, brother. You were never on TV. You cut promos and you talk to Mean Gene, and then, you know, you might do the Brother Love show and get jumped, but he never defended the title on TV. Why did he got you in defending the title every night?
But hey, that's what everybody wants to see. Everybody wants to see. They want to see title match. They want to see the belt on the line, so we give it to them. Like, everybody's main focus. They want to see the belt. They want to see a fight for it.
Right. So do you guys use a smaller ring, or is it the same, like, regulation size, like 16 by 16, or do you guys go
bigger
than that?
Our ring is 12 by 12.
Okay, so you guys are a little smaller.
Yeah.
But it's
12 by 12, but if we travel, like, to California, we get a ring out there, which is, like, 15 by 15, so.
Okay.
And sometimes it gets a little confusing because here we are 4 feet in this big old ring, so sometimes
right.
It goes crazy. Yeah.
The shows I've seen, though, you've got a custom ring. It's like it's shorter and the ropes are closer together than normal ring.
Yeah, exactly. 12 by 12, yeah. A ring for us. And which everybody loves it because, you know, here you are, you short guys, they got their own ring. It's nice, so they love the ring.
And then you have you know, regular size guys refereeing, so they look kind of funny in the ring sometimes.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, like we have Tanaka refereeing for us, and you're like, wow, like it's small guys and you got a big guy refereeing, and like it's crazy. Yeah.
I saw some pictures where you've done some refereeing too, though, right?
Yeah, that's how I started out for a little bit. I refereed, then I trained to wrestle with Cat and came on.
How did you go from referee to pimp?
Well, hey, my dad's Huggy Bear, so I got had to follow the business, you know. Had to bring
right.
The pimp game to the wrestling game. Yeah. And
so
who did you
defeat to become the champion, and how long have you been the champion?
I beat Meatball about 3 months. I had no help from Bricks, but yeah, I beat Meatball for the belt.
So, have you ever body slammed Meatball?
No, nobody has. He's too big. Nobody has yet.
I mean, come on, like you know, like they're like, okay, we're coming on July 4th in a few weeks, and you know, 21 years ago this July 4th, Lex Luger, he body slammed Yokozuna on the USS Intrepid. It's the greatest moment in the history of America. So you guys got to have a body slam challenge this July 4th. You got to reenact it, and you got to get the helicopter, and you got to body slam Meatball.
But I'm going to tell you like this. If any of us try to buy a screen meatball, we would never wrestle again. I'm sorry.
And
meatball,
then,
I'm going to...
See, we're booking an angle now. So no one can body slam meatball. Then all of a sudden, when it comes crashing down and it hurts, only one man can. See,
he gets his
spotlight, brother. He gets his heat back.
Well, I'll tell Blitz to do it. I'll tell Blitz to do it. Body slam meatball, see what happens. But if we try, it'll be ugly. Trust me, we'll be hurt. Meatball is about 320.
Goodness gracious.
Exactly.
How many times have you gotten the stink face from him? Because I know that's his famous move.
Well, we all had it, trust me. We all had it one time or another. Like, me, Blix, we've all sucked that walk of shame. We had to.
Amazingly.
Oh,
and I've been to these shows.
It's not pretty.
Well,
no.
why do these pretty girls from the audience voluntarily get the stink face after the show?
I'm asking the same question.
Why?
You're
the fan, you should be able to get that answer from these girls.
I mean, like, it'd be the baddest girls asking to do it. I'm like, meatball. I mean, like, I do it. I'm like, wow. Well, one time I had two girls with me and they asked to do it. I said, go ahead, but look, kiss me first, then you do it. But don't kiss me after. But yeah, but he is the baddest girl in the world. It's crazy. They love it.
It's way too kinky for me.
Exactly. Yeah, me. Hey, bro, I don't blame you. I really don't. And one girl actually stuck her tongue out while he did it.
You know, that's really disturbing to even think about something like that.
Exactly.
Yeah, it is.
And the girls love it though. They volunteer for it, and they love it. They put their nose in his butt, their mouth, everything. I'm like, y'all crazy.
So what do these girls look like that are taking this stink face from Meatball?
There are at least 10 on my radar.
Really?
Yes.
They look that good?
They are no more than 8, yes. I mean, they'd be the baddest girls that go up there. And they kiss their boyfriend afterwards.
You know, I would have never considered going to this show until the last 60 seconds.
I'm in agreement. So when is the show in Marietta again? What's the date for the Marietta show?
I think it's the 28th, 29th. When I tell them, I think.
Yeah, it's this Saturday, the 28th. And the Valdosta show is the 26th.
Yes.
And they're down
and
in Florida
one,
a lot, Josh.
And we got one in Wednesday in Fort Beach. We're based in Florida, basically. We're based in Florida, but everybody's from different places.
Yeah, you can go to mcwusa.us.
.us, yes, sir.
Go to upcoming shows, and there. You guys do a lot of Florida shows. And then, you're a big part of the thing in Sturgis. That's coming up soon, right?
Yep, we'll be in Sturgis here for a whole week.
When is that, August?
Florida. Yeah, August 3rd to 10th, we'll be here.
How does a crowd like that compare to, like, the bar crowds of where I've seen you guys at 120 Tavern?
Well, like, it makes me ashamed because the biker crowd, they get hyped. Oh, man, they love it. Some bikers at Sturgis, like, as soon as they say we got a show, that ring is packed. I mean, they love our show bikers. And the bar shows, it's the same thing, but them bikers, they love it. They scream loud. Oh, man, they go wild. It goes crazy. They love our show, the bikers.
The bikers
They love it, yes. They love it like crazy.
Well, let me ask you another question real quick. Are you a reader? Do you read books?
Yeah.
Okay. Have you ever tried audiobooks? No, have you tried audiobooks? You know, like listen to, like, people read the books to you, like on like a CD or something. we're now sponsored by Audible.com, and this is like the newest thing. It's so simple. You go on to audibletrial.com/ GWH Radio. You get a 30-day free trial. You hit the roads a lot. I mean, you're constantly on the roads. So you should go and sign up for this free trial. Get you some good wrestling books, some Gary Hart, some Ole Anderson. Get them on Audible, audible.com, and listen to some of these great road stories from some of these guys on audible.com. I'm assuming these books are there. They're not. I'm sure Hulk Hogan did. But I'm telling you, this is the way to go. This will help you. And I just had to get that plug in because we forgot to do it earlier.
Congratulations. The most shameless plug I have ever heard in my life.
I've never heard anybody work it into an interview question before.
No, no, no. Genius, really.
Well, I've read Stone Cold's book. It looked good. Stone Cold's book.
Hey, the Stone Cold podcast. See, you know, he's always talking about audible.com, and you should try it out using our code audibletrial.com/GWHradio.
Okay. I'll try it.
And tell our listeners to try it, too.
I will. We'll try it. I'll tell them.
Good deal.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I'll tell them.
Okay, back to the interview now, guys. Sorry, I had to do that.
No, it's cool. Hey, no problem at all. It's cool. I mean, hey, good push for it. It's good. It's real good. Uh-huh.
I want to go back
go back to what you guys are doing.
I want to go back to the Hornswoggle El Torito thing. What is it like for you guys, you know, seeing, I don't know if this kind of wrestling works the same as typical indie wrestling where guys work their way up and hopefully get to WWE. Do you know Hornswoggle? Did he work his way up through the ranks of midget wrestling? Or, you know, did you guys work with him at all?
I know Meatball did. Meatball worked for him for a little while. Meatball said, you know, he worked for him for a little while. After like a week, he got a phone call, and that was it. He was gone.
How did they choose him out of you know? It seems like I mean he's entertaining and everything, but Meatball, you know, obviously he's got a thing, and you've got a cool gimmick, and all these different guys with these cool gimmicks. It seems like they would have tried to find someone else that
I guess
had
like,
something.
It's an old saying. No, it's not what you know. Who you know. And you must know somebody.
Well, you know Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, so hopefully we'll be there soon. Hopefully,
you go up to Hogan and you say, Hogan, look, you're back in with Vince. You got a little bit of stroke. Just say, just one time, let's do a mini Royal Rumble.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that'd be awesome.
WWE Network special. They could show the King Kong Bundy thing and the Roddy Piper stuff, and then they could do an MCW could be one of their brands, like NXT or something.
I agree, and it might actually make me keep the WWE Network.
Yeah, I got it now too. I have it too. I seen who was it? Doink and Dink and Jerry Lawler and his crew.
Sleazy, Queasy, and Cheesy.
Yeah, exactly.
That's my favorite Survivor Series match of all time. I'm not lying. I love that match.
Yeah, I think it was on Survivor Series. I think it was.
No, I'm being serious. I really truly enjoyed that match. Like that literally is one of the funniest matches I've ever seen in my entire life. And I'm not a big comedy wrestling fan, but I just thought it was really well done. It was back when, you know, it was silly, don't get me wrong, but I just really have always enjoyed that match.
It was, yeah. Like, it was really entertaining. It was.
Yeah.
Like, everybody had their part. It was funny. It was. It really was. I liked it.
Nice. So, a few years ago, Mini Boogie Man. That's who I was about to bring up. Look at it. You just beat me to it.
Yeah. Who was the Mini Boogie Man?
Oh, some guy named Chris Holyfield. What's funny was, they called me there first, but then all of a sudden they said it was somebody else, so that was crazy. They had called me there one time.
Yeah, who was he feuding with that also had a mini?
It was Simon and Hornswoggle.
Oh, right.
Yeah, Simon and Hornswoggle.
And then they had the mini commentators, I think a couple pay-per-views ago. Were those midget wrestlers?
Yeah, there were a few of them. Yeah, that couple guys we knew from a long time ago. Yeah. Yeah, we're good guys here. We know them.
Okay.
Some of the guys know us, yeah.
Larry, you got any questions for Huggy Cub?
Not really.
Okay.
Okay, I got one more question. This is my last question.
Okay.
With the business kind of getting away from the word heavyweight, do you think it might be time for a midget champion to compete for the WWE title?
I think so, you know.
I mean, you're almost as tall as Daniel Bryan, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. He's about, what, 5'1", exactly.
Yeah, he's like 5'7", 5'8". I mean, but, you know, I mean, I'm just saying, like, you know, and okay, but seriously, what's the tallest midget competitor? What's the cutoff? Because I know Rey Mysterio is like 5'3", 5'4". So what exactly was the cutoff to be considered a midget professional wrestler?
I say about 4'7", 4'8".
Okay, so 4'7", 4'8".
Yeah. That's about the cutoff.
So,
about 4'.
How tall are you?
I'm 4'3".
So someone like 4'7", 4'8". So you're actually pretty tall for most of them, correct? Or are you like middle at the road?
Yeah, well, like I said, we had Blake, she's about 3'7", and we had Demo, we 3'5". So yeah, we had a couple short guys.
Right. So you don't have
yeah.
to worry about like a mini Sid Vicious coming in just power bombing everybody.
Oh no, no, that's cool.
Hey, you
okay,
know, I do have
yeah,
a question. I did have a question. Why did you decide yourself to become a pro wrestler?
Well, I've been a fan all my life. You know, I watched it every Saturday morning. I watched WWF. I watched NWA. I watched the UWF. Like, I was a fan all my life. And what's funny was my brother would always tell me, you should try doing it. I'm like, well, there's no way for me to do it because there wasn't nowhere, no outlet. And then, you know, after years went by, I got a phone call from Brick saying, hey, we got opening. You want to try it? I said, yep. So I jumped on it. And
so you actually got a call inviting you?
Yep. I've known Brick for about 10 years now. We played, believe it or not, we played ball for a little bit, basketball for a little while. And he did both. So he called me up and said, you want to wrestle? I said, yeah, I'll do it. And that was it.
Huh.
Me more got him in and Bruce got me in. And that was it.
What do you think you'd be doing if you weren't wrestling?
Right now, I don't even know, to be honest. I thought about, you know, selling insurance, but no, that's not me. Yeah, that's not me, selling insurance. That's not me. So I'm kind of glad I got into this because this is a lot more fun, you know. So I'm glad I did this. I really am.
Well, you do this full time. Like, I mean, you travel and you guys are doing shows like 2-3 times a week, right?
Yeah, we travel.
So you guys are like, honestly, you guys are probably one of the only like professional. Actually, outside of WWE, you guys probably are the only true professional wrestlers right now because even in like TNA and in Ring of Honor, those guys are not full-time wrestlers.
Right.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Like, so, I mean, that's an accomplishment in itself. I mean, you know, maybe you guys don't get to work in front of, like, the biggest crowds, but you guys get to do this every night. You don't have
to
do a 9-to-5. You don't have to, you know, go around and try to find, you know, like, your typical job. I mean, you guys can go out and have fun and be professional wrestlers. And,
yeah, so we travel,
you know,
we travel like crazy. We travel from east, north, down, south, out west. We travel all over. So, yeah, it gets busy sometimes. It gets busy.
Yeah. So what's the best city you guys go to that has the best crowds and the biggest crowds?
I would have to say L.A. Well, L.A.
Okay.
And we did a casino last week called The Point in Washington, and they were packed. But I would say, you know, L.A., Chicago, Washington, them crowds, they love it. They eat it up like crazy. Like, sometimes when I'll be a heel and I piss somebody off, and they get actually mad. I'm like, bro, it's a show. Calm down. Like, they get involved.
are you ever afraid of like getting heat and like someone trying to jump you? Like, are you afraid of that?
A little bit. Well, one time I got heat. This girl was in the audience and she almost cried. I'm like, oh man, what I get? But after this show, I gave her a hug. She was cool. But yeah, like you get some people who they take it real serious and they want to argue. And I'm like, bro, it's a show. Calm down. Like the ones get real drunk. They act like that sometimes. They had too much to drink. But other than that, some see it as a show, and they say, okay, you know, it's comedy, you know, I laugh, and then shake my head afterwards. But other than that, yeah, it's cool.
All right,
yeah.
Well, we're about out of time, but before we let you go, anything else you want to say about these upcoming shows in Georgia? Are you facing Meatball at both shows, or do you know that yet?
Right now, we don't know yet. We know at Showtime, we know. But I hope everybody comes out, have a good time, come see us wrestle.
Go see a stink face. Go get a stink face.
Yeah, the girl is not. Hey, the girl is not me.
Well, I mean, not you. I mean, yeah, the ladies. The ladies, go get a stink face.
Exactly. Yeah.
Do it for the vine.
There you go. Take one for the team. There you go. Yep.
All right. Well, is there anywhere people can find more about you, or should they just go to the MCW site? Do you have your own Twitter or anything like that?
We have Facebook. They go on there, too, and check us out, too. And
all right.
Check out school dates and everything. Yep.
Awesome.
Congratulations on your championship. Hopefully,
thank you.
By the time you get to Marietta, you'll still be champion.
Hope so, yeah. Thank you. Hope so. Hope so, yeah.
All right. Well,
hope
we appreciate you calling in.
Thank you. Have
All right,
a good
we'll
one.
Talk to you later. You too.
All right. All right.
Well, that was fun.
That was interesting.
Good. Yeah.
Change of pace.
Yeah, something different.
What else is going on this weekend, Larry? What are the big shows that people should check out?
Well, you know, I really don't know, except I'll probably go to Anarchy since I haven't been there in a while. And, of course, Peach State, it does intrigue me, the boxing match between Adam Jacobs and Fred Yehi. Now, one observer who shall remain nameless, named Stephen Platinum, questioned, like, the entertainment value of this. But I think you really underestimate Adam Jacobs as an entertainer if you think that's not going to be fun.
Oh, I totally agree. And honestly, it's funny you say that because, you know, last week we had Jimmy Rave on, and he talked a lot about Fred Yehi. And Fred Yehi is always one of those to me that, like, he's a great technical wrestler. He's just this, he's just that. But I never see any personality or character really out of him. So me, to see him do this boxing thing and to see him do this with Adam Jacobs, to me that actually might be one of the most intriguing things this weekend, is to see a new layer to Fred Yehi. Can he do something so outside of his comfort zone and make it work?
Yeah, and if you've really been running shows in this building off and on, which I think is probably really true, for 45 years, and they've never done a boxing match, I don't know if that's a work or if that's really true, but if it is true, I think that's really cool.
Now, here's my question. Do you need to have the paramedics and the ambulance on site, and do you have to really go through the athletic commission to, you know, spot to really be behind this boxing fight?
You know, that's a great question, because Shane Knoll said he was going to have actual Georgia Athletic Commission folks there. To judge the match. So,
that's the whole thing. Like, I mean, you know, that's kind of an expensive venture,
yeah,
if they really have to do that. And, you know, they are advertising a boxing match. So, I mean, you know, the government agencies will look into that and be like, what do you mean you're promoting boxing? You didn't check this with us.
Yeah, I would hope they've really run this through the channels with the Athletic Commission and they're really doing this. We will see.
But, yeah, I do. I think it's a very intriguing thing. I mean, you know, and like you said, and I keep hearing it, you know, from other people, that Adam Jacobs is on fire right now, and it's good to see him back and doing his thing. So he's always been one of my favorite guys.
Yeah, it's been a real treat. Hey, but I had to ask, I thought I saw an advertisement that had Johnny G listed as the guest for the show. Was that a mistake?
No, Johnny G is the name of the guy that runs MCW.
Oh, see, and here I thought we were going to get Johnny G from Rampage, and I was really nothing wrong with the interview with the midget, but boy, I would really love to hear what Johnny Gaten had to say.
Johnny Gaten will never talk about professional wrestling again.
Well, that's a shame.
No, I thought it was going
to
be...
If he does, he would not talk to us about professional wrestling again.
Well, you probably got a point there.
Yeah, I thought usually Johnny G, his real name's John Green, I think. So he usually is like the spokesperson for Micro Championship Wrestling. But then I texted with him today and found out he wasn't calling in, Huggy Cub was, because I kind of wanted to talk to one of the wrestlers and not the promoter guy. So that was where that was what that was about.
Speaking of sponsors, we are so very happy here at Georgia Wrestling Now to be sponsored by Audible.com. If you've never tried it, it's the best place to get Audible digital infotainment and entertainment all at one place. You can listen to it on all your smart devices, your tablets, your cell phones, your computer. It's Audible.com. A lot of you wrestlers that listen to the show, we know you travel a lot. You go ahead, you go to Audible.com. audibletrial.com/GWHradio. Get a 30-day free trial. Get you some of the classics. Read you some, you know, get some Jules Verne read to you. Some John Grisham. Some Michael Crichton. There's over 150,000 titles just for you. So when you're hitting the road this weekend, get a book. Actually expand your knowledge outside of just Gary Hart, Ole Anderson, and J.J. Dillon.
And do so knowing you've got an endorsement for Micro Championship Wrestling.
That's right. He sold on it. I mean, let's go ahead. This is it. This is where we're going with it. Where do you get the Bible on Audible.com?
That'd be a long road trip.
Well, they're our sponsor. We're happy they're here and get your 3-day free trial. Audibletrial.com, GWH Radio.
All right, well, you can go to gwhnewsandnotes.blogspot.com to see the rest of the upcoming wrestling events. I know LaGrange Championship Wrestling is running on Friday. Chick Donovan is defending his LCW title against Tommy Too Much. AJ Steele is also advertised, so looks like Pandora is as well. So I know we had somebody from that show on not long ago, and Josh, you kind of...
That was a massacre.
Yeah, but it looks like they're
he outdrew me, so he's a better promoter than I am. So let's do it and just say it.
And I understand Passion of Wrestling crowned their first champion over the weekend.
Tyson Dean.
Yeah. So what else is coming up?
Tradition's really starting to run that middle Georgia area, aren't they?
Who is?
Tradition, the group of Tyson Dean. Marvelous Michael Stevens and Zach Edwards. I mean, they're really starting to run the Middle Georgia scene.
Yeah,
I mean they're all over the shows. They're on the top of all those shows, and you know,
interestingly enough,
I always enjoy all of the guys' work, and it's good to see them doing you know some things after Rampage closed down and not just doing it in Atlanta. So,
interestingly enough, next week's guests are Zach Edwards and Marvelous Michael Stevens.
How do you like that?
I was segueing perfectly. I knew what I was doing.
Beautiful.
And have you seen their I assume it's a parody commercial for a shaving cream ad that they did?
I've not seen it yet, but I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, well, you definitely want to watch it before we talk to them next week so we can ask them about it. But I'm pretty sure by the end of it, they are wearing nothing but shaving cream over their entire bodies. So they might be the new exotic ones.
Perhaps.
So as you mentioned, Larry, Saturday Anarchy's running. Deep Southern Championship Wrestling is also running in Blue Ridge at the Farmers Market. And UIW is in Villa Rica. And that looks like those are the major shows this weekend, aside from the ones we've already mentioned. So check out some of those shows. Check out WrestlingWithPopCulture.com. Of course, check out, what is the code? audibletrial.com/GWHradio.
That's right, 30-day free trial. Get you some good books, over 150,000 titles.
All right, I guess that is it for this week. So thanks for listening, and we'll be back next Monday with the Beautiful Bald Besties, I believe is what they're called now.
That's their name.
And that should be a fun show.
I agree.
All right. Thanks, Larry and Josh. I'll talk to you guys next week.
Thank you.
We thank you for listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com for the latest information on upcoming events and more. As always, we thank you for your continued support.